You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, January 26, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Cicada, and the return of the King, Scott Angle. Welcome back, Scotty!
It's good to be back, well rested, ready to go. We've had a big week. Yes, the On Target winning the FSTA award at the conference, the channel winning Rookie of the Year. Roto Experts in FNTSY being nominated for several awards, so it's feeling good.
Well, forget all that. We talked about that yesterday, but how are you, man?
I feel good about that stuff, you know?
Well, that's fine. Well, how was your vacation, man? Like, enough of work stuff. What's going on? Where you been? What's doing?
I just relaxed for 5 days, you know, watched some movies, ate some good food, just relaxed, pretty much.
Just relaxed. Yeah. Were you listening to fantasy radio at all?
I bolted the doors and just stayed up on what I had to for 5 days.
Ah, so I
watched some football Sunday and kept up on the NBA and the baseball news, and that was pretty much it. I went to vacation, wasn't over. Tony, good morning. Tony, what is the biggest, greatest? I was gonna tell Tony. I'll talk to Tony about it when he comes back from getting his coffee. But I'm pretty excited about this this new mini series that's on TV.
Hey, we were talking. You know what's so funny? I mentioned it yesterday.
Are we talking about the new edition one?
I mentioned it yesterday, and everybody was like, "What are you talking about?" And I thought to myself, I guarantee you, Scott is watching this.
I didn't get to watch it last night. Recording all of it though. Apparently, I didn't even know it was coming on last night until after it started. And I'm flipping through the channels. I'm like, the history of New Edition.
It's a mini series,
like a mini series. And I love New Edition. And Tony didn't say nothing about that. They're from Boston. I thought he was big on that.
I think we mentioned it briefly yesterday, but what is your favorite New Edition song?
I got a few of them. I would say, Candy Girl, Popcorn Love, Mr. Telephone Man. Oh my God, there's so many of them. It's like I have the. Is This the End? Though might be my favorite one.
Okay.
Though. Yeah. What about you?
If It Isn't Love.
If It Isn't Love. Yeah, that's upbeat. I probably say my favorite one though is Cool It Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I figured that you was watching. If nobody else was, I figured Scott saw it, and I was going to bring it up.
Did you watch it last night?
I didn't get a chance to look at it last night.
Recording the whole thing.
Yep. So other than that, that's pretty good. That's it. I feel pretty good though, Greg. You didn't ask me yet, but I was answering anyway.
By the way,
how you doing, Scott?
Excited to find out when I was off that I got a text from Nando, and I was like, I was asleep. I didn't even know, and the text says, "Yay for the Hall of Fame hour." And I was like, wow. And I looked online. I'm a finalist for an FSWA award.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame hour FSWA radio show, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Scotty. You do a good job with that. So
yeah, thanks.
It's good to see them, showing respect to the king.
You know, there's a lot of confusion, Greg, in the industry about the difference between the FSTA and the FSWA.
Sure.
Some people think all the awards are done already. We still got the FSWA awards to come on February 7th.
Well, it's understandable why there would be confusion, because people that aren't in the industry have no idea what these two organizations are. So why would anyone know the difference between them?
Exactly.
I think both organizations probably need to do a better job of getting out there and explaining what their missions are.
Yeah, the confusion has been going on for years. So
it's a bad job.
Yeah, so we're not done winning awards, I guess.
Well, let's hope not. I will be rooting for the Hall of Fame hour, certainly.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't been on
Greg's
yet.
Taking the role. Yeah, Greg's taking the role of Tony Sincotta today, calling people out.
Yeah, you know what, Tony?
How are you, Tony?
Honestly, Tony, I thought we had so much fun at 4 o'clock last night. I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just gonna sit here and just sound like it is.
Yeah. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear the King back.
Good. We were just talking about me all excited about the New Edition miniseries. One of the most famous groups to ever come out of Boston.
I watched it last night. I watched both the first two last night.
I watched half of the first one. So far, so good.
Yeah, what was it, Corey? I think it was you that brought it up the day before,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
So I actually watched, I didn't know, someone in my house had actually taped it, and so or DVR'd it, and I watched both of them last night. Pretty good.
I'm DVR'ing them tonight. I'm going to watch them.
I saw a picture of on the internet of Bobby Brown when he was like 9 years old.
Yeah.
He looked like a grown man. He looked like a grown man at 9 years old. Like he had the face of a man. I was like, oh my goodness. Must have been rough.
That's like LeBron James.
Oh yeah, LeBron James.
When LeBron when he came out of high school, I was like, that kid's like 16.
Yeah, yeah. He looked older for his age, and then he looked obviously he's a big dude, you know what I mean? So crazy. What did LeBron say that he didn't have time? He needed that the Cavs needed some playmakers. He didn't have time to wait. He'd be 33 years old in the winter.
Yeah, I wonder how LeBron's feeling after last night after Sacramento beat them at home.
Oh boy, he's gonna be pretty upset about that.
He was a little more specific than that, as we discussed last night.
Yes, on the out of bounds here. We spoke about how LeBron feels he doesn't have any playmakers, and he basically said, listen, we're not better than we were last year. You think DeAndre Liggins and Kay Felder can win us a playoff game?
Oh, he said names?
Yeah.
No.
He named names.
Oh boy.
Of course he said no disrespect to them.
Yeah. No, you did already, LeBron. Wow, he named names.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then, so of course, after that, last night he was asked about acquiring Carmelo Anthony. He's like, this isn't fantasy basketball.
He said that?
Yes.
He said that? That's a great answer, though. That's the truth.
Well, they had a chance
to. Maybe he's on the truth mission.
So let me ask you this. For that deal to even come about, for talks to even happen, that means when Carmelo and Phil Jackson met, Melo must have told Phil Jackson, I'll waive my trade clause to go to the Cavs.
Well, supposedly he said, I'll waive my trade clause to go to the Cavs or the Clippers.
He said the Clippers also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't blame him, man.
Yes.
I really don't. I like having him in town and stuff like that, but I don't blame him. You know what I'm saying? If he can go someplace and play competitive and have a chance to win a championship, why not go for
it? And leave Phil Jackson? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
And leave Phil Jackson. Yeah. You get a new boss? Wow. Okay, cool. No problem.
Yeah.
Do you think he looks at Phil Jackson as a boss, though?
I think he looks at him like a putz, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That's a weird... See, that's a great question, because if you're a professional athlete and you're making $20 million a year,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you really have a boss?
Yeah, I want to say, does he really have a boss? He's really...
And you have the no-trade clause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing for really. His whole thing is just, dude, leave me alone.
Pretty much. I'm doing my thing. You do your thing. That's it.
Yeah, more or less. You stay out of my way. I'll stay out of yours.
Oh,
that's probably their relationship.
Carmelo pissed off. Like, he thinks he's the whole world, and he's like, this damn Phil Jackson can't get me any. You know, he's saying the same thing as LeBron is saying without saying it out loud.
Yeah.
And every day, I'm sure he's blaming Phil Jackson for being a loony old man.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it's going down. He's probably on the phone with like LeBron and D Wade and these guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're probably like, listen, just hang in there.
Well, him and
Bryant are very close though. So,
but LeBron basically had to say no to the trade if they didn't trade for Kevin Love, right? Someone had asked LeBron if he was interested in bringing Carmelo.
Yep, that's
so
true
you think
too.
They could still be. They think they had to still be tight after they said no.
Probably so. I don't see why they would. Those guys go back to. But they came out together, right? Well, they didn't come out together, but they were big time high school athletes at the same time.
Sure.
They've been playing together for a long time. I don't know. That's interesting. He had to say LeBron probably was the one that said, nah, don't do it. Why would he say that?
I don't know.
Carmelo, if he was on that team, the Cavaliers,
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a disaster. You'd have three guys not interested in playing defense.
It's true.
With Anthony, LeBron, and Kyrie Irving. Kevin Love, he could say what you want, but he in 2 years, he's learned how to fit that role on the team. He knows he's the third option. He bangs a couple threes every once in a while. He steps up if one of those guys are out. I think Anthony would be lost on that team.
Probably so.
But it's weird. In the Olympics, Carmelo Anthony really steps up his defensive game.
Yeah, he cares about defense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He plays a different.
It's very crazy.
He plays a different ball game in the Olympics altogether. You know what I'm saying?
Strange.
Trade him to that team, the USA basketball. That's what he wants to play for.
Yeah, I'm back to my drill of just like, you know, listening to Tony on the way in, getting up early, watching NBA highlights, and I think Tony nailed it on this morning show, Greg, when he says, you know, some things are very predictable in the association. Anthony Davis left with an injury last night, mm-hmm. and Russell Westbrook had another triple-double. The 60th of his career, passing Larry Bird. Now only Wilt Chamberlain is ahead of him on the all-time triple-double list.
Yeah, what was not predictable was me winning money 2 days in a row, everybody.
How about, how about that?
How about that?
And not only that, I did not win last night.
Really? And Tony, not only...
Hassan Whiteside sunk me.
He did. So he did. And I wound up not putting in Whiteside because on FanDuel, the price was just too high. I guess DraftKings knew what they were doing, pricing them that low, trying to entice
you. Yeah.
They got you.
You know what, though? Here's what I said. See, you got to be intelligent about this, right?
Yes.
So I was pissed off about it, right?
Understandably so.
And you got to go and look at things, right? You got to figure out why things didn't happen to be better at this and then understand. And then I looked. Willie Reed in 24 minutes had 14 points and I think 5 rebounds against Brook Lopez. So my assessment was right. Just Hassan Whiteside decided not to show up last night. Mm-hmm. He played 21 minutes. He shot the ball 7 times.
Yeah, it's unacceptable, in my opinion, for you.
Willie Reed ate him up.
It's
a joke. And the other thing, what is my fault, is Hassan Whiteside is not a good one-on-one defender.
Right.
And Brook Lopez, I should have put more thought into Brook Lopez, it being a good matchup for him as well last night.
Not only did I win money last night, gentlemen, I put up 358.
You should have saved some of them for tonight.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm going to put like nothing tonight.
You should have played in the tournament.
Yeah, I should have played in the tournament.
Yeah.
I should have followed Tony's advice. Just like, throw $2 in the tournament. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
last night, I put up a score.
LBJ had a triple double last night.
You played FanDuel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
LBJ had a triple double last night. You played him?
He did. No. Did he not play him?
You have your
hope
roster.
Play Hassan Whiteside.
We just talked about Whiteside. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, I have my roster here, Tony. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what Sus Mania put together last night.
We went with Damian Lillard and Goran Dragic at the point guard position.
Yes.
Dragic had a pretty good
game. Dragic, of course, in that game against Brooklyn. That was a good play.
We put in James Harden. And then the guy that Benny said you have to put in, there's no reason, you are literally not allowed not to, and that was Dion Waiters.
Yeah, Dion Waiters, the other guy Benny liked at the two guard also came through, Dwayne Wade. He liked two nights in a row, and he had two big nights in a row.
Yep. The small forward position is what did it for me. Because at small forward, at 21% owned, I started Jay Crowder, who I told you in the morning I liked.
Yep, he had 35 minutes last night, 23-10.
And then 6% owned, my man Kent Bazemore does it two nights in a row.
Well, Kenny, like 17, yeah, right?
16-7, yeah.
The Hawks only used 8 guys, I believe, last night. And every player on the team had at least 16 points, every player on the starting lineup.
Yeah, we did that in a second because that was actually crazy because the over-under there was the lowest, the second lowest across the slate at 202, I think.
Yeah.
And they put up a lot of points last night there. I put Zach Randolph in after listening to the Lineup Lock Show, which is Michael Green out. Nerlens Noel, who is like 100% owned. And then instead of Hassan Whiteside, we went with Mason Plumlee.
We talked about Mason Plumlee yesterday.
It was a good night for centers overall. Everybody but Whiteside.
Yeah, Lakers actually blow. I mean, they played at least they played decent last night.
They're so bad.
Because of Lou Williams last night on 3 successive trips down the court nailed a 3. Three trips in a row, he shot a three and nailed it. It was like watching Steph Curry, and he put up 31 points to keep the Lakers in the game last night. But he was the only one doing anything, and it was weird. They started Calderon instead of Clarkson last night.
You know what? I had a feeling they would do that because Luke Walton, like, well, we gotta keep our rotation, blah blah blah. You know?
Yeah, it's working really well.
I will never use Julius Randle in Daly anymore.
He lost your trust?
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, we talked about that last night.
Yep.
Yeah, I am on my season-long team. I'm a big Julius Randle fan. Like, I think for a power forward, athletically gifted, like no other player in the NBA. But the last 2 weeks, I don't know what happened.
They had a baby.
I don't know if that.
Oh, I remember that. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's not sleeping at night or what's going on there.
Did he have a celebrity girlfriend?
We looked at this. Did we check this out? She was a Kentucky cheerleader.
That's right.
We looked this up.
She comes from a well-to-do family that own racehorses and everything.
Yeah, we looked it up.
Somebody on that team has a celebrity girlfriend, right?
Jerry Clarkson was dating Kendall Kardashian, right?
That's what it was.
Jerry Clarkson was dating Kendall Jenner.
It was Clarkson, okay. Mm-hmm. Clarkson was dating.
And didn't Nick Young have a.
Oh, Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, okay. D'Angelo Russell made sure that wasn't.
All right, yeah. That's how it went. So, okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure.
You good now?
So, one of the Kardashians is dating one of the Lakers.
I don't know if they still are, but at one point, Kendall Jenner was dating Jordan Clarkson.
Okay.
Yeah,
I seen some pictures of her online the other day.
Yes,
that's pretty intense.
She's my favorite one.
Nice,
really?
Yes, not even close.
Yeah, I feel like maybe really? I'm a little gay then. Scott Jesus is my favorite guy.
I know Scotty is. Yeah, you love Scotty.
Yeah, I love the train. It's such a train wreck. It's a great story. Yeah. And I root for him because all those women must drive him crazy. Like, how could you stay sober living with them?
You can't.
That's why he has to leave for a couple of days at a time.
You cannot do that. That's why.
How about that girl? She's a beautiful girl, right? Like, which Kardashian is he married? He's not even married to. What's her? Kourtney, right?
Yes.
That's the greatest relationship. Like, he goes on a bender, and he's gone for like a week, and he's with women that they catch on TMZ, and she always takes him back.
How about that? That's the
greatest relationship of all time.
You know, I was thinking of an interesting sports question after watching watching last week's championship games and, marveling at Tom Brady again.
Yeah.
What the Patriots have accomplished.
Right.
I'd like to, I don't know whether it's worth a debate or not, but when we come back, I'd like to pose a question I've been thinking about to the panel here.
Sure, there you go. We'll take a break.
Love
and
it.
Scotty will propose his question to us. Coming up next, the NRL Experts. Experts in the morning. Scott Engel, you've returned this morning, and you have a question for us.
Yeah, now if this isn't even a debate, you just let me know. I just want to throw it out there. You know, I saw Tom Brady and Belichick, you know, advance to the Super Bowl yet again. The Patriots, Brady can become the first quarterback to win 5 Super Bowls, Belichick setting records for getting there, etc. And it just struck me as, like, when I was watching the 90s Yankees, about how we were all watching something very special. To have a run like this in professional football is very, very difficult. I think sometimes the fans of the team lose sight of how special this is and just take it for granted. To see the Yankees win the World Series 4 times in a row is absolutely incredible because it's just so hard to get to a Super Bowl or to get to a World Series. And then you see all the debates online, and this isn't fantasy related, but I'm very interested in it, about who the greatest quarterback is of all time. To me, it always was Joe Montana, but to me, now it's Brady. Derek Jeter was really the face of the 90s Yankees, but it was a core four. We get very provincial, you know, in our opinions about this, too. There are people outside Boston who won't give Brady credit, or people who hate the Yankees who won't, you know, give the core forward Jeter credit. Both Tom Brady and Derek Jeter are like the faces of those historical franchises. What we see going on here is absolutely tremendously historical. It'll never get in our lifetimes. And to me, and we got a passionate Yankee fan here on the panel, and a guy, you know, who's also from Boston, who was more meaningful and bigger in his sport, or would be bigger in the sports pantheon of all time, Tom Brady or Derek Jeter?
Derek Jeter was an ambassador of the game. I don't think Tom Brady's an ambassador of the game.
Now, here's something I'm going to throw out there, though. They were both bigger than the sport. When Tom Brady's in, I don't know if Jeter's an ambassador of the game, but everybody outside New York love him. You look at Jeter statistically, and he doesn't measure up maybe as the greatest at his own position, and he was part of the core four where you could say Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time. So I'm going to throw it out to you. You guys can all three of you say your
pieces.
This
is my thing with the greatest quarterback of all time. I have put Tom Brady ahead of Peyton Manning as number two. But Joe Montana being undefeated in the Super Bowl still makes him number one to me. Now, he didn't go as many times as Tom Brady, so I get that. But Tom Brady could win another one, you know, this upcoming in the next 10 days or so. I just, that unblemished, Joe Montana being unblemished could still makes him number one, but Tom Brady is miles ahead of Peyton Manning.
To the question, though, who was bigger for his sport, Brady or Jeter, and why?
I just got to say Derek Jeter because he was an ambassador to the game. Tom Brady's never been looked at as an ambassador to the game. Peyton Manning was the ambassador to the game. Tom Brady is kind of like, you know, the best, but he's not. I didn't look at him as an ambassador to the game. I mean, he's been suspended for cheating.
I think that Derek Jeter is the most blown up thing in the history of sports. If he didn't play in New York, would be just another player. He's a me guy from every sense of the word. He wanted to bat number two in the lineup. Brian Cashman wanted to move him back. He wouldn't move back. And Brian Cashman succeeded to his wishes. Came down the final three games of his career at Fenway Park. All sorts of people from New York bought all the tickets online for crazy amounts of dollars. He didn't play. Derek Jeter was a me guy, and I think outside of New York, people lose sight of what he actually was. As far as Tom Brady goes, I don't know if he's the best quarterback of all time, but he's the most accomplished. There's no doubt about it. And for Joe Montana to go unblemished because he was only in four Super Bowls, I think is crazy, and I think it's erroneous. So what if he was only in three, would that be?
It's still the winning
percentage. So if he won three, where is it? Four is okay, but if he only was in three, is that not enough?
Well, you look at
Tom Brady by the end of his career might double Joe Montana in Super Bowls.
He might double in appearances.
Double.
But I just look at the undefeated mark. I think the undefeated mark is special. Now, I get it. He was not only in four.
Yeah.
Well, what's your answer to the question, Tony? I know where you're leaning, but
I think I don't think there's a true answer. I think they're both in their sport is the one thing. Like, I can't even make the argument that Derek Jeter is a top five shortstop of all time. That I have a hard time believing.
I think Jeter's great. I just think Tom Brady, you know, I think they're both bigger than their sport. Like you say, Tom Brady's more accomplished. What's your opinion on it, Greg?
And you could see, you could make the debate on Montana, too. It's whole different eras, too. Like, the numbers won't be up to Tom Brady's numbers as far as career. But that was a whole different game. Like, you used to run the ball. And I think of Dan Marino. Like, I don't want to penalize Dan Marino either because his team never made the Super Bowl. His team had no defense at all. That ain't his fault.
Era of the Dolphins, they didn't run the football either. Didn't have no running game. Yeah, it was nothing around him. But by the same token, Joe Montana played with Jerry Rice. Tom Brady has never had a player like Jerry Rice.
I think the undefeated
Randy
thing
Moss.
In the Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah, Randy Moss. He did have Randy Moss.
I think the undefeated
thing
in the Super Bowls is the only thing that Montana has over Brady.
I think that's probably it at this point, too. So that's sad. But he's closing in on being the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time.
And the thing that hurts Montana in my eyes is Steve Young came in and won Super Bowls after him.
That's true, too.
He won one.
He won it, though.
Yeah.
Tom Brady won. He won, and they were always a good team with Steve Young. Like, there was no drop-off.
I've never seen anybody as clutch as Joe Montana.
Joe Montana took the Chiefs to the AFC Championship, but he couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get over the they couldn't get to the Super Bowl.
And nobody would have expected that at that age of his career. So, yeah, I think we forget about the whole Chiefs thing, and which is not a bad thing. When you see, when you want to always remember Montana in that 49ers uniform.
I kind of feel like there, it was some controversy in that game that he lost, that they lost in the AFC Championship.
Do you have an opinion on this, Greg?
I don't remember what team they played.
I think that, and remember, I never saw Montana in his prime. I saw him, like, when I remember Joe Montana, I remember him in a Chiefs uniform. That was, like, my beginning of football is Joe Montana as a Kansas City Chief. I believe that Brady is, you're pairing arguably the greatest quarterback of all time with arguably the greatest coach of all time. And that, like, deadly combination has obviously worked out incredibly well over the last decade and a half for Tom Brady. When it comes to being a bigger star, a bigger name, and all that stuff, compared to Derek Jeter, you know, I almost lean toward Brady, given that, you know, Jeter had, as good as Jeter was, 3,000 hits, the whole deal, the mega star that he is today, all those championships, no doubt. He was in New York, and New York pumps people up, as Tony mentioned, to an nth degree. And I love Derek Jeter, you know, he's my favorite athlete of all time and all that stuff. If Derek Jeter plays somewhere else, I don't know if he becomes Derek Jeter.
Right.
Now, New England was nothing, as Tony will attest to, before Brady and Belichick. Nothing.
They were nothing, then they were respectable with Drew Bledsoe.
Fine. They're as respectable as the Chiefs are respectable with Alex Smith, right? You know,
I think Bledsoe was better than that, but you know.
But I mean, they went to a Super Bowl.
But the Patriots weren't.
I would say the Chargers were with Philip Rivers.
Sure, and that's fine. Yeah. And that's fine. Yeah. Nothing like this, right? Of course. With Brady and Belichick. So there have been, in my opinion, there have been a lot of Yankees that have just become mega uber superstars, from Derek Jeter to all the guys before Derek Jeter. There's never been a Patriot like Tom Brady, ever.
No, that's true. But when I talk about ambassador to the game,
you want to talk ambassador to the game?
Derek Jeter was an ambassador to the game.
Of course he was. Tom Brady got suspended.
Yeah,
he's a cheater.
So there you go, right there. I take that into consideration, being an ambassador to the game. You know. A guy you can that the commissioner can put up there in a crisis.
Commissioner wants to get rid of Tom Brady.
Here's one thing, and it's interesting too. Brady's the greatest Patriot of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeter's not the greatest Yankee of all time.
No. But like, is that Jeter's fault, right? Like,
that's true. Right?
It's not Jeter's fault that all these Babe Ruth players, Babe Ruth played for the New York Yankees.
Hey, right? You remember that question I asked in the break? Who's the Atlanta Falcons' all-time leading wide receiver?
All-time leading wide receiver.
And it's not even close.
It's Julio.
It's not Julio.
Who's the leading Falcons wide receiver?
Atlanta Falcons.
It's not Terrence Mathis, all-time leading wide receiver.
Terrence Mathis is on the list.
Is it the other guy that played with Terrence
Mathis? Mike Pritchard?
Who?
Mike Pritchard?
It is not Mike Pritchard. You're not thinking, Scott.
Yeah. Hold on.
It's not Roddy White?
Yeah, it's Roddy White.
Yeah, Roddy White. I'm trying to get too deep.
And it's not even close. Number two is Julio Jones. Number three is Terrence Mathis, and
Mathis first. Yeah,
And number four is Andre Rison.
I had Terrence. Bad mood. I had Terrence Mathis on my first ever fantasy football team.
Really?
That I played on, and I won a championship.
I picked
him up off of waivers in 1994.
That was his rookie season, 1994.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a good pickup.
I'm just because we're doing. Today on Best Friends Forever, we're doing Atlanta Falcons trivia.
Really?
So those are a couple of the questions.
That sounds fun.
Those are the couple of questions right there.
Would you like to go on the Best Friends Forever program?
But you can't ask that question.
Who's the greatest?
It's early. Yeah. they won't hear it again.
Who's the greatest Falcon of all time?
That's interesting question right there.
I wonder where Steve Bartkowski would rank.
And the Falcons all-time list? Mm-hmm. I think the greatest Atlanta Falcon of all time might be Roddy White.
It might be Roddy White.
He goes over Jamal Anderson.
What about Billy White Shoes Johnson? Not the greatest, but one of the greats.
I don't know much about Billy White Shoes Johnson.
One of the great kick returners of all time.
What about Michael Vick?
See, Do you think they
maybe
would...
Maybe one of the most thrilling.
Do you think they would embrace Michael Vick?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, they just had, point, didn't, yeah. Didn't they retire his number or something this past
year? Wait a minute. What about Deion Sanders?
Deion Sanders wasn't there long enough.
How many years was he there? Like four?
Like 4 years. Yeah. I don't think
Deion... Then he went on the front running.
Yeah, then he went to... Then yeah. he was a mercenary like yeah. What's your man name? Darrell Revis. Yeah, but...
Even more than Revis.
I don't think it's Michael Vick, even though Michael Vick has some amazing numbers.
Michael Vick changed the game for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Can you say Matt Ryan?
No.
I don't think it's Matt Ryan.
You would assume he wins the next Sunday.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, he wins next Sunday. You could say Matt Ryan. Or you could say Julio Jones, arguably.
I don't know. I kind of feel like, I don't know, Michael Vick might still be a black eye to the franchise.
I don't think so.
No. When you think he's done his time. People have forgiven him.
At least when I think Michael Vick, I think Falcons. I don't think dog. I think electric.
Yeah.
I think thrilling, inconsistent, and overrated.
Tells how you really feel.
The full spectrum. But he is the sixth leading rusher in Atlanta Falcons history is Michael Vick.
Pretty cool.
Yep. So, I don't know. I think their most recognizable player in their history is probably Roddy White, though.
It probably is. I'd have to
I don't agree with that. I don't agree. If you want to say the most recognizable player, I'm going to go with Michael Vick. I really am.
What do you think?
The greatest of all time.
Best player in Atlanta Falcon history is Tony Gonzalez.
No, he played most of his career with the Chiefs, though.
Yeah,
he was washed up.
He's the greatest player maybe to ever wear a Falcon uniform.
He's not
the greatest Falcon of all time.
Okay, I can dig that. He's the greatest player to ever wear a Falcon uniform, and not the greatest Falcon. I think the greatest Falcon is Roddy White.
What about Michael Turner?
The burner, Michael Turner. He was there for five seasons there.
Well, he started out as a backup for a long time. And Jamal Anderson, of course, another one.
Yeah, the Bart Cousins.
No, it's definitely Michael Vick. It's definitely Michael Vick.
Yeah, I think it is. There you go.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break. It's good football talk here on the program. We'll come back to a little basketball from last night. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Big slate of NBA games last night. Not so many tonight, just 4 games tonight. That'll be fun, you'd think. Or not, maybe not. We'll see. See how it goes, I guess.
There's one game with a huge total.
Phoenix and Denver.
And then the other games have a low total. I guess tonight the story is, do you play Russell Westbrook or not? It's not a great matchup, and it's a low total. But like I said on this show, if he puts up 70 in a 4-game slate, you don't have him, you can't win.
It's so true. It's so funny because I just, you know, during the commercial, actually, I was just building a lineup. And I do not have Russell Westbrook in there because he's so expensive. The matchup is not good. So I do not have him in. In fact, I don't have a single player in that game. I only have players basically from 2 games.
Phoenix and Denver.
Denver's totally one. And then Utah, LA is the other one, and there's no Lakers. This is all Jazz.
Yeah. No, that's exactly, if I was just going to give you a prototype, that's how we would try to do it tonight, right? Get as many guys as that Phoenix-Denver game, and then fill out the rest with some cheap guys across the board.
We'll go over that a little bit later on, but... Tonight, I do want to start with some tennis, actually.
Tennis?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Oh, we got this Williams sisters.
We not only got a Williams sisters final, but we could be due for Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal as well.
Oh, boy, look at that.
How about that? A little throwback action for you in the Australian Open Championship.
The Australian Open.
People sometimes ask me, why is there no fantasy tennis? You guys got an answer for that?
I don't.
No.
But it seemed like it would be easy to score.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Who would play, though?
I'd play. Why not? You put people play golf, why don't they play tennis?
I mean, if we can do MMA and esports, we can do tennis, right?
I think so.
DraftKings.
Yeah, DraftKings fantasy tennis.
Yeah. Anyway, the
Aussie Open.
The Williams sisters both go to the finals together. First time since like 2009 that has happened.
That hasn't happened in a while. I hope Venus win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I want Serena to win.
Why?
Get 23.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. I just feel like Venus wants to win. Yeah, I think like Venus wants, like you know, Venus has always remained true to tennis. while Serena has become a celebrity outside of tennis. So why not? I think it'll be cool to see Venus win one.
You think Serena should just lay down?
No, I don't think she should lay down. No, I think they should play. I think they should play all the way out. Their pops is what's the latest with him?
I don't know. And then you got Nadal and Federer. Federer came into this tournament. He was number 17 ranked in the Australian Open. He's pretty good player. Before we get to the NBA, let's talk to Kelly from Tampa. Kelly wanted to chime in here before she got to work. Kelly, what's going on, girl?
Hey, guys. How are ya?
Doing well. What's up?
Not much. I just thought I'd chime in on this whole Tom Brady, Derek Jeter stuff.
Sure.
What's up, Kels?
How are you, Corey? What's going on, buddy?
Doing well.
Hey, girl.
That's good. Hey, I kind of agree with you. I think that Tom Brady has too much controversy clouded around him to be able to be considered the greatest. Yes, he probably, you know, he's a good quarterback. I'm not going to take anything away from him. As a Colts fan, you know, that kills me to say that. But I just think with the suspension, with the Flakegate and the Spygate and all that stuff, I just don't think that he could be considered the greatest quarterback of all time. That's just my opinion. Jeter is being in Tampa and being around him for spring training and everything. He is kind of a me guy, and shame on Cashman for not, you know, sticking with his guns and moving Jeter and letting him take over like that. But I think you're right that Jeter was so much of a showman and more the face of that sport at that time than Tom Brady ever would be.
Derek Jeter had intangibles.
When you saw Derek Jeter in Tampa, did you ever go home with a baseball?
I did.
Did he sign it?
Not that kind of baseball.
Oh, did he sign it?
Well, yeah, because Corey and I a couple years ago had a bet over Daytona. If he would have won Daytona, I would have sent him an autographed Derek Jeter ball.
That's right.
Oh. Do you realize what you would have to go through, Corey, to get that ball, and you put it through all that?
Yeah, no. And all I had to do was win Daytona, and I didn't come through that year. Oh, boy.
Damn.
Yep, one and done.
Well, thank you for reminding me that I was one and done. Daytona's coming up again. I might have to hop in
26.
There and win the championship again, and then Scott'll be mad again.
I wasn't mad. Just call it what it is. Fluke.
Mm-hmm. All that crazy stuff they're doing with NASCAR nowadays, I tell you.
Yeah, they changed the rules.
Really? What's going on in NASCAR?
They changed the scoring. Like, you're going to get a certain amount of they had a press conference the other day. My son and I were talking about it in the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour returns here in February on our channel. About how they're going to award points after segments now, and then take breaks.
Oh, we could do that during the like do it like this. Maybe we should do that during the show. We should grade each other after every segment.
So a lot of NASCAR fans are outraged at it, you know. But like, it's really not going to change the way people get into the chase. So it's going to change the overall scoring now, though, because now you can't like at Daytona, like races like that, drivers would lay back and wait to make their move, and now you can't do it because you fall behind in the points.
So that should increase the action, though, right?
It should. Yeah,
exactly. So that's what they want.
But
because ain't nobody watching it.
I don't think that's far from accurate. You know, you're going to say things on radio.
I think we can look at
what you're talking about.
Look at the ratings, and I'm pretty sure nobody's watching.
I think you would be very, very surprised. It's disappointing of you to have that platform and say such inaccurate things, but you know, every time they change the rules, you know, the fans start to whine and cry about it. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. went on Twitter and said, "Everybody, just chill."
See the face? He's the ambassador to the game.
See, that's the thing. It's like Junior's the biggest name in the sport, but he's never won a championship. It's just because he's an Earnhardt.
Makes it easy when you're an Earnhardt.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson should be the ambassador of the sport. He's like the greatest of all time, along with Richard Petty.
And Senior.
Yeah, and Senior. Can't forget the Intimidator. Those are probably the three greatest of all time. Richard Petty, Jimmy Johnson, and Dale Earnhardt Senior. It's just so many people carried over the fan base from Senior to Junior. So
I think it was a natural progression when Senior passed away.
Yeah. All right, Kels, thanks for the call.
All right, Kels, I'll at you.
Okay.
No doubt. Good night. Good morning. I had to talk to Kelly this morning, you know what I'm saying? That's always cool. So I'm happy about that.
I'm a little concerned about you, though.
My
that
whole wrong.
Derek Jeter ball, that ball situation.
I could have had a DJ ball if I'd have won Daytona 500. I had it all in front of me and let it go.
What women are willing to do for you? That's amazing.
How about that? How about that? You know what I'm saying? So Derek Jeter, you know, he should hang out around the city a little bit more. Like, you never see Derek Jeter at the Knick game.
Well,
he
was here a couple months ago.
Yeah, that's right. He was here a couple months ago. But why don't you never see him at the Knick game?
He
you know what I'm saying?
Doesn't care about the Knicks.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Still, he should come to the Knick game every now and then. Show some support for Carmelo Anthony.
He doesn't care. Really. Is he friends with Melo?
Huh?
Is he friends with Melo?
I would think so. Yeah, isn't he?
He's got to be friends with everyone now, right? Because he's got that website. He needs them
that's
all.
True. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the Players Tribune.
Yeah, Players Tribune. So, yeah, he's got to be friendly. I saw somebody wrote something interesting on the Players Tribune.
Once in a while, there's something.
No, it was. I think it might have been earlier this week or maybe last week where somebody had wrote something interesting on the Players Tribune. They have some interesting stuff sometimes.
Yeah, they do occasionally.
They wrote. Didn't Richard Sherman do something for them? Richard Sherman, excuse me?
Yeah, he wrote. He does regular writing for them. I read him occasionally.
Really?
Yeah.
He contributes regularly.
Yeah.
So he
some of the guys they have there like contribute regularly. He had a weekly column during the football season.
No, I see right now morning. I see Venus. Yeah. William, I mean, is this Venus or Serena? Which one is this? I see Venus is wrote something recently. Their pops is in pretty bad shape, health wise. Mm. So that's I just looked that up too. That's why I haven't really seen him recently. So there goes that. But no, I've checked it out. Have you ever checked it out, Greg? The Players Tribune?
Yeah, every once in a while.
It's interesting. You know what I mean? I don't have it bookmarked. You know what I'm saying?
I did at one point.
Oh, you did have at one point. You did have a bookmark. Oh, okay. Tony, what about you? Nothing here for you?
When I hear that there's an interesting article there, I find my way over too. There because people link it.
Yeah.
And then you go over it. Take a
look. It's interesting because. I was in one of the clubhouses last year, and I met Jason Zilla of the Yankees, the PR director. His wife works for the Players Tribune.
How about that?
And
that's a shock.
She actually
how did she apply for that job?
She actually goes into the clubhouses and helps the players like sort of write the stories.
Really?
So she, if I helps the players, you mean helps the agents write the stories? That's the problem.
Right.
Like,
he goes to interview the players and
gives
to
the agent.
Like
right. Yeah. So that was always a thing that bothered me about the Players Tribune. Like, oh, it's really straight from the player, but it's just not straight from the player.
Okay, so look at this. Like, so this is what we got up here on the Players Tribune right now. Since we're here, you got you don't know about being a punter.
I gotta go read that one.
Yeah, you don't know about being a punter by Johnny Hecker. Mm-hmm. So there you go right there. Rams punter.
Fantastic year by Johnny Hecker.
There you go right there. My Brother Dave was a hockey story by Paul Holmgren. Then you got the three, which is the Caples, the two Caple brothers, mm-hmm. and their pops, the great North Carolina Duke. One was UNC, one was Duke.
Yes.
Anyway, you know the story. Then you got a story by Devonta Freeman called Bringing the Juice. Then you got Kevin Falk wrote How We Play Football in New England. Charles Tillman writes a letter to his younger self. So there you go right there. Interesting stuff. Joe Thomas Sr., the guy from my alma mater, South Carolina State University, the old man that played running back. So that's what we currently have on the Players Tribune. So shout out to the Players Tribune.
I'm not shy.
Oh, look at Pudge. Here you go, Pudge.
Don't pay me anything.
Pudge wrote the story of my life. Look at that. Pudge wrote the story of my life. Yeah, so there you go right there. So that's cool. I don't know. I don't think this is going to be the thing that takes Derek Jeter to the next level.
It's got a lot of money in funding. So it's losing money, and they got more money from investors.
Greg, really? They sort of position it as like the players take back the media.
I understand what it is, but it's just agent-driven information, so it doesn't really mean much to me. Yeah.
This is not. I don't think this is going to. Carlos Beltran, why I'm coming back to Houston. All right, nobody cares.
Right, we've lost Corey, so let's head to break.
I'm trying my best, y'all.
We'll come back. We'll
continue to read the Players Tribune.
We'll try. Hell with the Players Tribune. You read your baseball magazine. I'll just talk to Tony. So stick around. Yeah. Throw it away for the morning. That's the Sports Radio Network. Tony, some industry news here. that our reporter, our producer Mike Florio has given me.
Oh, he's working.
Yeah. According to what he has told me, and I don't know if it's accurate, so I'm reporting it anyway because I trust Mike Florio.
He says, did that once, it ended up being a mistake.
Well, hopefully this is right. Fantasy Draft has bought Fantasy Aces.
Oh, wow. That is breaking news right there.
I believe that could be true, but the only
way around.
Here's what I know. No.
No.
Fantasy Draft has some very big money behind it. They have a big investment group, but the whole thing is with Fantasy Aces, they're a publicly traded company, I believe, in Canada. So it's a little surprising to me that they were able to buy them, but I'm sure they'll.
So if you head on over to fantasyaces.com.
Yep.
Big splash on the main page. Fantasy Aces agrees to be acquired by Fantasy Draft. Fantasy Aces is pleased to announce that we have come to an agreement to be acquired by Fantasy Draft. We appreciate your patience as we work with the Fantasy Draft team to ensure a smooth transition for our players. We expect the process to be completed within 3 to 5 business days. We'll provide more details as they become available. We're excited about this opportunity and think that you will be too.
Is this another sign that it looks like when, you know, if DraftKings and FanDuel get together and they pull this merger off, they're going to be the dominant force in fantasy, and they're going to be the dominant game playing sport, and you know, the dominant game playing site in fantasy sports.
See, I have a hard time believing this is the one industry where I don't get where people buy the other sites, because to be honest with you, the same people play at both sites, so you're not acquiring new customers when you do this.
Right.
Right.
And it surprises me that we see these agreements. Now, I know why sites want to get together, because of the fees associated with it, so they can cut back on costs and they can have a collaborative there. That makes sense, but it's not a traditional business where all the customers are the same. And like when you buy, like when we see utility companies merge, or we see banks merge, you get a whole new customer base, but you don't get a new customer base when you have it with DFS.
Yeah. It's interesting because in the past, like, you know, before you guys were on board, you know, like, Roto Experts and before Zine and Anthem, like, you know, we went through periods where we were acquiring other companies, and it wasn't maybe necessarily to gain a new audience, but, you know, we saw something in those companies that, you know, that we liked, that we kind of wanted to add to our repertoire. So I wonder if that's the thing.
Well, this is the same, but
it's it was content, it wasn't gaming,
right?
So,
but and this gaming is the same thing, right? Like, they're it's kind of the same thing. You know, no, Corey, you like playing on Fantasy Aces, right?
Yeah.
You talk about that pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So it's probably a shot for you.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, what changes we made and stuff like that. Probably nothing right off the rip.
Right.
Yeah, this is kind of, like I said, Fantasy Aces, you kind of can still feel like you're playing a fantasy contest and not playing against, you know, computers.
Do you know what my favorite Fantasy Aces moment is?
What's that?
Fantasy Aces!
Studio 2, huh?
Sponsored.
Oh, the back. What he's talking about, we used to have a television backdrop from Fantasy Aces. It's interesting because, like, I think it was in 2010, we acquired this content site called Roto Community.
Really?
And only one. It was interesting because, you know, like their content, like some of the tech things that they could do. And within less than a year, everybody from the site was gone, and, you know, just didn't stay with us except for one person, Pat Mayo. When we acquired Proto Community, we essentially acquired Pat Mayo. He was the only one that lasted more than a year.
How about that?
Yeah, and look what it turned into.
Shout out to Pat Mayo, big star in this industry.
Yeah. How about that?
That was Dave Garon, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Look at that.
Good breaking news there.
Interesting. So, like, yeah, we'll have two DFS companies. I think FanKings, a Draft Duel, whatever it's called, is going to end up getting into the season-long area and season-long fantasy competitions also. So it's going to be interesting.
Oh, yes. During the FSTA convention, we had Greg Ambrosius on, and very surprising thing that he leaked out, and I don't know if he did it on purpose.
I like that. I like when people leak stuff out, not on purpose.
Yeah, he said there's no reason that the NFBC has to only be high-dollar tournaments, and next year they're looking to add lower-salary leagues online for people to play in these draft champions type formats at a lower dollar figure. Yeah,
because I mean, they got to expand their customer base.
They have to.
Yep.
They got to expand their customer base.
There's not enough people, right?
Nope.
So and the only way to do that.
And you know what? The thing about it is, you get into one of these leagues. First of all, it's like the same. You more or less you're gonna have the same players in two or three of the same leagues with you, and you're consistently playing against the best competition all the time.
Right.
Where it's like you know sometimes I want to take on like Florio or something like that. You know
so
what
you're
I mean?
Saying like with DraftKings does for like the, with the casual sort of
maybe so
games
yeah
they have right
yeah
exactly. No, they'll have 20 yeah they'll have $25 leagues going forward and things like that, which if you can get in one of these 50-round drafts for $25, I would
do 100 of them
next year. Jump, yeah, it's crazy. It's a lot of fun, and it gets you so much prepared for your home leagues. There, if you do one early in the season, I start one today. It's the first one I'm doing. I'm about 2 weeks behind. I usually have started these drafts a little earlier.
Oh, are you excited, Tony? Or are you just like,
oh yeah, I have the fifth pick. I'm fired up about it.
Who are you gonna take? Clayton Kershaw?
I'm going to take Clayton Kershaw, and Nolan Arenado is my fallback option if someone jumps on.
I like it. Sticking with what we've talked about, which I like, which I absolutely admire. Coming up in the next 2 hours.
Right quick, Modica was saying yesterday that he kind of almost, if you're going to try to win the overall in the NFBC, you kind of got to have a big pitcher.
Oh, I wish Tony Sicott and I have been saying that for a week.
I almost feel like the industry, like the analysts, are now veering more towards coming back towards taking pitching early.
Yeah.
Where a lot of them are against it.
Yeah, Tony and I back in this all week long. We'll talk more about baseball drafts when we come back. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.